behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lawson.
At the 10, at the 5. Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Three-step drop. Oh, he is buried. He is sacked. It is Mario Williams back at midfield.
You got to give me that leg, Will.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Ball into the end zone. It is intercepted. It is picked off. Aaron Williams made a leaping interception in the end zone.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Big night tonight, a big news day at One Bills Drive. We'll hear from Bills president and CEO Russ Brandon in just a few minutes, talking about the postponement of the Toronto game. Aaron Williams joins us later on in the first hour to talk about the extension of his contract. And Bills running back Fred Jackson joined us during the 8 o'clock hour.
This place is pandemonium.
CJ at the 10, 5, touchdown! CJ Spiller, touchdown Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive. This is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hello, welcome to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO for Wednesday night. Good to have you with us tonight. We are live on the radio from now until 9. The phone lines, as always, are open. And we had some news today, kind of a busy, newsy day at One Bills Drive. You've heard the news by now. We're going to try to shed some light on the two major issues of the day here at One Bills Drive with the postponement of the game in Toronto this year, the Bills-Toronto series. We're going to hear from Russ Brandon in just a minute or two about that. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, Aaron Williams, Bills defensive back, who got a contract extension today. He'll be joining us in studio at the bottom of this hour. We had a little bit of a cancellation, well, not a little bit, a cancellation, a bonafide cancellation. Matt Miller, NFL draft expert for Bleacher Report, scheduled to be with us at 8 o'clock. He has had to postpone. We will reschedule him. He had something come up just about 15 minutes ago, as a matter of fact. And so Matt Miller will not be joining us tonight. Fred Jackson will be joining us tonight at 8 o'clock, the Bills running back. We always like to go to Freddie for perspective on issues, including Aaron Williams. And I know from having talked to Aaron Williams earlier today, he credits Fred Jackson with keeping him straight, keeping him his mind right during last season, helping him along during what was a pretty productive season for the Bills defensive back. We'll talk with Fred Jackson about Aaron Williams coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. We will also talk with Fred Jackson about the postponement of the Toronto series. And we want to hear from you on that as well. I know it's a hot button issue for Bills fans. The Bills in Toronto, 6 years in, one win, five losses, a couple of preseason games sprinkled in. As you know by now, there will be no Bills in Toronto this game. What are all the implications as far as your concern? I would imagine you're happy, but we'll discuss some of the implications as we move along through the night. And you can phone in your thoughts on that. The lines are open. Just a minute here. 803-0550 is the number to call. Outside Buffalo, we've got a toll-free line for you. 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach out and follow us on Twitter. It is at John Murphy Show. That's how you reach us there. Just your thoughts on the Bills in Toronto series and the suspension of the series for this year anyway. I got a tweet already from Tom Morgan who says, here's my two cents. Toronto resident, Bills fan since 1963, hate the Toronto series. Go to Ralph Wilson Stadium two times a year, cheaper slash better. Got a lot of information there in 140 characters or less, by the way, Tom Morgan. Sick Lions tweets in, I live 2 minutes from Rogers Center here in T.O. Hated the games here. Our home is the Ralph. Should still be called Rich Stadium. Interesting. I know there are people who feel that way. Toronto people, Canadian people who would rather go to a game here. We heard a lot about that. Heard a lot of that over the years of the Bills in Toronto series. Rob Close tweets in, hope it's permanent, the suspension of the Toronto series. Well, you know, we're going to get more thoughts on that, and the phone lines are going to be open in just a minute. You might want to ring in now and save your place. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And before we get to that, though, let's hear from the man who made the announcement today in a mid-morning news conference. And later on in the day, we had a chance to sit down with the president and chief executive officer of the Buffalo Bills, Russ Brandon. Joining us, the president and CEO of the Buffalo Bills, Russ Brandon. Kind of a big day, kind of a newsy day around here today, Russ, huh?
A lot going on, Murph.
There was a lot going on.
It's been a pretty busy day.
Yeah, the Toronto series, essentially the story is you have postponed for 1 year the scheduled Toronto series this year. Give us the reasons why.
You know, Murph, we're, you know, as we said after the Atlanta game, we're going into full evaluation mode at that time, and it was more of a top line evaluation and met with all the parties involved and obviously our great partners up at Rogers, Ed Rogers, the leadership provided by Ed Rogers and Keith Pelley and Phil Lind and Alan Horn and everybody associated with that organization is top-notch, first flight. And, you know, we just had discussions about looking at the game in totality and what it means to this organization and what it means moving forward, and just felt that as we were approaching the time when season ticket invoices were going out and all the different things, that it made most sense to postpone the game for this year and go into a full evaluation mode throughout the year to see where it stands as we move forward.
Are there any specifics about in the full evaluation you want to look at? I mean, football, logistics, promotion?
Everything. You know, as we talked about, you know, one of my main responsibilities when I was afforded this post by Mr. Wilson was to look at everything associated with this organization. And obviously the series falls, you know, within that framework as anything does. So we're going to go into it with very comprehensive outlook, and we're going to get all the parties involved and see what makes sense moving forward.
You referred earlier today about how the atmosphere there at the Rogers Center can – this past year felt like a neutral crowd. There's an atmospheric problem there in that stadium, isn't
it? Well, the one thing that we said early on was that we weren't looking to take this experience and try to replicate it there. We knew that going into this series that it would take time to build, and it's leveled out. And, you know, as I said earlier today, Murph, you know, we have not played well up there. And when you're 1-5 and you're trying to create a new fan base, you know, this past year was a neutral crowd at best, and, you know, we bear some of the responsibility there because we have not played well. And we're not running away from that, and we take responsibility. So it's just something that, you know, we just need to take a more holistic approach and take a look at it. And as we get into the course of next season, make a decision moving forward on how this is going to move forward.
Russ, I'm sure you feel that with Toronto sitting there, the fourth largest market in North America, you can't afford to turn your back on that market.
Absolutely not. And, you know, Rogers, you know, we've worked out with Keith Pelley and his group, a robust partnership that's going to speak to the Canadian fan base. That has been one of the big positives. You know, this fan base from Southern Ontario has grown exponentially over the last 6 years. And there's a significant amount of Southern Ontario fans that come down to Ralph Wilson Stadium. It's been a huge haul for us and something that we're looking to grow. And Rogers will be a big part of that this year. We've got a lot of promotions and activations that are going to be tied into the Canadian fan base. And, you know, those guys Rogers does a great job, obviously. And we're looking forward to working with them on sort of a new frontier for this year and see how that goes.
You know, one of the things that struck me, Russ, in the last few years when all the hand-wringing about the Toronto series, when you talk to the Canadian fans, they so much enjoy the experience here. It's almost forced me, anyway, to take a look at there is something special about the game day experience here at Ralph Wilson Stadium in Orchard Park. And they like it, too.
Yeah, and there's no question we're trying to enhance that as well here. You know, the renovation, as you know all too well, is in full swing, and there's going to be a lot of opportunity to enhance the game day experience. And it is. It's a special place with a special atmosphere. And something you can't duplicate really anywhere, a very collegial experience. And that's what I hear constantly from not only fans from Canada, but our fans everywhere, is about that sort of collegial experience that you achieve here. And that you know, that's something that's obviously been very appealing to our Canadian fan base, and it's something we obviously can't replicate there and don't try to replicate there. We're just trying to create an atmosphere where, you know, we're building a fan base. And we've achieved a lot of that, yeah. But it just hasn't taken it over the top this past year, as you saw. It was a very neutral crowd when we played Atlanta.
Hey, Russ, some may try to interpret this as football concerns trumping business concerns in the organization, as if there's a rift between the two sides. You know what I'm talking about. That's amazing that perception is out there by some people.
I don't know where that comes from, Murph, and, you know, I addressed that earlier today as well, but this organization has never been in more lockstep. Coach Marone, Doug Whaley, we speak every day on every facet of this operation. And obviously I've kept Coach Marone and Doug abreast of everything that's been happening with this. And could not have more support, you know, across the board. And, you know, that goes into all the other things that we talk about as well. You know, people, you know, I had to answer a question about Doug Whaley and his responsibility today, and it's mind-boggling to me. Sophomoric is really the word that I use, but that, you know, Doug Whaley has full responsibility over the 53-man roster, the composition of that roster. Doug Whaley sets the ceiling and the value equations on every player on this team. And to suggest otherwise is just is not accurate. Jim Overdorf, obviously, is our lead negotiator and one of the finest in the business. So, you know, I was raised in this business by John Butler and Tom Donahoe, and my belief has always been in the same aspect of what John used to say, that GMs need to focus on personnel and person player acquisition. And that's what Doug Whaley does. He is a pure personnel man, and he sets the values. And Jim, you know, works for him and makes sure that we try to achieve our goals, and that's to retain a lot of our good players. This system doesn't allow you to keep every single player, but we have done a heck of a job over the last couple of years in extending players like Aaron Williams we did today. But, you know, if you look at the roster, there's a lot of players that we've extended and a few players that we've extended multiple times when you look at Kyle Williams and Fred Jackson and Brian Moorman. So it's, you know, as far as this organization goes, I've never been prouder to be associated with it. And very pleased with the direction that we're heading.
You mentioned Aaron Williams. That news was released today, contract extension for him. What a great story for him about just 10 months ago, really. He made the move to safety, maybe wasn't sure where his future lies. Now he's got the extension. He talked today about assuming a leadership role in that defense.
Oh, Aaron's certainly a leader on this team, and you could see that as he emerged last year and was more comfortable in the back end. But you know, one of the things that we did at the conclusion of the season is Doug Marrone and Jim Monas, our director of player personnel, and Doug Whaley, you know, we had an offsite and we basically set out to refine the blueprint a little bit and further establish the master plan and how we wanted to approach things, not only this year, but as we move forward. We have got a lot of good young players on this team, as you know, and that's going to require attention. And one of Doug Whaley's top priorities was retaining Aaron Williams long-term, and to see that happen today, along with all the other news, was great to see for Aaron and his family.
One more thing, and it goes back to the Toronto deal, and it struck me today, listening to you talk about it, I had a flashback to a conversation I had with Mr. Wilson in Fredonia, you know, the nice, relaxed atmosphere that was always a training camp, and I think it was the time when they were building the suites here, late 1990s, and he got talking, he said, you know, he said, the number one thing about marketing pro football is winning. And I think you kind of subscribe to that too, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're blessed to be in the number one sports league in America, and obviously the passion that fans have, especially here in Buffalo, is unmatched. But winning certainly is a big elixir for what we want to achieve, and we haven't done enough of it, as you know. And our fans have stuck by us in a big way. So I'm looking forward to the day when that lights switches the other way, and our fans can enjoy playoff football and beyond. So that's really what we're focused on. You know, obviously, you know, Coach Marrone, the pathway he has his team on is exciting. What Doug Whaley's doing on the player side is exciting, and I think good times are ahead.
Russ, thanks.
Thanks, Murph. Appreciate it.
Russ Brandon, the Bills president, chief executive officer. We had that conversation late this afternoon here in our studio. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We want to hear from you. Your thoughts on the suspension of the Toronto series. Your thoughts maybe on Aaron Williams signing. Anything you just heard Russ say or anything at all you'd like to talk about regarding the Buffalo Bills. Phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter as well at John Murphy Show. The Toronto series suspended for a year. Your thoughts on that? From a competitive standpoint, I think it's a good move. There's no question about it. It's better to have a home game in Orchard Park than in Toronto. The Bills gain a significant home field advantage because of the loud crowd they get here, because of the outdoor weather that can sometimes play to their advantage. From a competitive standpoint, it's better to play here, no question about it. However, I think it's important, and Russ addressed this, the Bills cannot ignore the fourth largest market in North America, sitting right on our doorstep, right there, just you know, an hour and a half away. They have to find a way, and I'm interested in seeing how the Bills find a way to continue to engage the fans in Toronto and Southern Ontario. You could argue, and in fact, I would argue, that playing one game a year and maybe a preseason game sprinkled in Toronto really did not engage those fans. Those fans probably would have been engaged in Bills football regardless of whether the Bills played here and or played there in Toronto. And as you heard Russ say, they have seen a significant increase in the ticket sales to Southern Ontario. In fact, earlier today, Russ Brandon mentioned that 18%, on any given Sunday anyway, 18% of the fans at Ralph Wilson Stadium come from Southern Ontario and Toronto. That's typically, in a sellout crowd, that's about 13,000 fans. Compared to 16%, Bill's numbers, Russ's numbers, of the fans in the stadium on any given Sunday coming from Rochester, about 11,600 fans. So there's a difference there. I would argue those Toronto, Southern Ontario fans were going to be engaged in the Bills and the NFL regardless of the Toronto series. But you have to find a way to keep them engaged. And you heard Russ Brandon talk about initiatives. What did he call a robust effort to keep those fans coming to Buffalo Bills football, increase that number. Now, there is a report today, tonight in Toronto. Toronto Sun, our friend John Cricker writes for them, says that he's been told by sources in Toronto that it's a one-year suspension, and he says he's been told that the series will resume in 2015. Four more years, actually, four more games. Russ Brandon was asked about that and the future of the series earlier today and mentioned that all he's doing at this point is taking this year off and reviewing every aspect of the Bills in Toronto series. So are we closing the door? Are the Bills closing the door on Toronto? No, but they're looking at it with a fairly critical eye, you'd have to say. And I think the critical eye has to include the atmosphere there. I asked Russ about the atmospherics. It's not a good stadium. I don't know if it's a good baseball stadium. I don't think it is. It's certainly not a real good football stadium. For starters, you need a better field, and they've tried. I mean, they've redone the field a couple of times since the Bills have played there. But I didn't realize this. Apparently, there's a push underway to put a grass field in the Rogers Center. I would prefer it if the Dome were open on a more regular basis. The Bills never played a regular season game there with the Dome open, regardless of the weather. I think that would contribute to the atmosphere. And for fans, tailgating is a major part of their football Sunday, and there's just really it's very difficult to do that in the tightly compressed downtown area of Toronto where Rogers Center is. So those are some of the hurdles that I see it. You know, the stadium itself, the grass, the dome, the fact that it is a dome, it always seems dark in there. I don't think the seating is great for football of any kind. I mean, you're just not that close to the field. And the tailgate experience is not there as well. So the Toronto series on hold for 1 year. We'll see what comes down the pike after that. We'd like to hear your phone calls and your thoughts on that. We're going to hear from Aaron Williams a little bit later on this hour. But if you have thoughts on the Toronto series, the suspension for 1 year, lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. We'll start with Matt. Hello, Matt. You're on the air. Hello, Matt. Are you there?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Okay.
First off, I love the Aaron Williams signing. I think he's a stud safety. I'm glad to see him aboard. Secondly, I kind of had an idea about the Toronto series, and I'll give you my idea and hang up and listen.
Okay.
What if you moved the stadium closer to Grand Island so the Toronto people had more access to the stadiums, vice just Orchard Park, where it seems to be a one-way in and one-way out? I'll hang up and listen to you. Your response to that.
All right, thanks, Matt. Yeah, that's been discussed, I know, and especially a couple of weeks ago when the governor appointed the first members to the commission to look at future stadium plans for the Buffalo Bills. And one of the things that people have said is move it closer to the bridges. You mentioned Grand Island. Some people think Niagara Falls. Some people think maybe you can accomplish that on the Buffalo waterfront. I don't know. And I to be honest, I've never heard, in all the years, I've never heard a Canadian fan complain about, oh, you know, it's just too far, and once we cross the bridge, we've got another, 25-30 minutes from the Peace Bridge to Orchard Park. I've never heard that complaint, which is not to say it is not a complaint, but I've never heard that at least vocalized as a problem with the Canadian fans coming to Orchard Park for the games. It would be great if the fans from Southern Ontario kind of bought in terms of season tickets, and you heard Russ's numbers about 18% of the fans. You know, this is anecdotal, but clearly, you know, there are pro football fans in Southern Ontario who will come to a couple of games a year. And I go back to what I mentioned to Russ, and I can hear Mr. Wilson's words ringing in my ear on a beautiful sunny day in Fredonia. It had to be 1998, maybe 97, 98, when he said, the number one thing about marketing pro football is winning. This whole Toronto series, our discussion tonight, would have a whole different cast if the Bills were consistently winning. because then I think those Toronto fans and Western New Yorkers and folks from Rochester, etc., would have no problem coming to games, whatever the obstacles. You know, the drive after the Peace Bridge or the parking situations or whatever people come up with for roadblocks, impediments to come to games. I really think it all begins with winning. Let's go to Val in Toronto. Val, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. I've been a Bills season ticket holder here in Toronto since 2001, and obviously I'm very glad that the season ticket holder will get one extra game. There always seemed to be that one game that, you know, was pretty spaced out that you never got. But I think with the new leadership now at Rodgers and Ted Rodgers passing away a couple of years ago, I think they're going to go in a different direction. And this postponement is going to last a little bit longer. I think they're trying to pursue their own team, something that probably represents Toronto a little bit more. And you're right. With the winning, really, really, you know, people here didn't really dig it. Unless you're the Leafs, you know, that lose all the time, it's pretty hard to be the Bills and lose and for them to actually attract a lot of people.
Val, let me ask you something. As an astute pro, are you still there, Val? Oh, we lost him already. Because my question is, if you believe that folks in Toronto want their own NFL football team, does the suspension of the Toronto series impact that at all? Does it say anything about the Toronto market? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. Dwayne in Hamilton. Hi, Dwayne. You're on the air.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Okay.
I just wanted to weigh in on that, the Toronto series. I've been a Bills fan since about 85, but I've been a season ticket holder since 01. I live in Hamilton, Ontario, and I was at three of the Bills games in Toronto. I just did not like going there as a Bills fan.
Why is that?
Just different atmosphere, tailgating a little bit, but it was just a different atmosphere. I didn't find it comfortable at all, and I'm not going to miss it personally as a fan. I'm glad we're going back to Orchard Park.
And you'll come to games here in Orchard Park, you're saying, right?
Yeah. No, I've been a season ticket holder since
85, 01. Yeah. Oh, since 01, okay. Going to games since 85. Okay, Dwayne, thanks. Here is Mark calling all the way from North Dakota. Hi, Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, John, how are you doing?
Okay.
Well, I totally agree with the decision by Bills management, Russ Brandon, to suspend the Toronto series. Yeah, I think that has cost us games in the past. And I think that if they want to tap that Toronto market, first we need to win. We need to win games. And if they had brought this up back in the 90s when we were a team that, the bandwagon team that people could get behind, it might have worked, but right now it's not working. So right now we need to win games. And I think this year's game, last year's game, I think the games we could have won if we were at Orchard Park. I know this year's game especially, where it really, really bothered me, and I thought that we were making a decision that wasn't a prudent business decision, but I'm okay with going there and tapping a market, but we have to win first.
All right. Thanks very much, Mark. I hear people say that about this last year's game against Atlanta. Would they have won if the game were here? I don't know. I know this. They would have won had Stevie Johnson or Scott Chandler not fumbled late in the game. They were on their way to winning. E.J. Manuel twice had them in position moving down the field to win the game. I don't know if you can blame that at Toronto or not, but that's the haunting image I have more than anything about that game. Let's go to Bill in Buffalo. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, season ticket holder, absolutely elated. This is a great move, and it restores some of my faith in the management of the Bills. And I want to say the Aaron Williams signing, I think, is excellent. And as far as Jarris Byrd, I want to make a comment. I think he's been a one-man show. I don't feel the team thing from him. And, you know, if he feels it's more important for him to play this free agency game than to stick around here, then so be it. We need people here to form a team. We don't need the superstar. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, Bill. I know people feel that way about Jarris Byrd. That situation has not played itself out yet. One guy who will be here for the next couple of years at least is safety Aaron Williams, who agreed to terms today on a contract extension. And we're going to take a break here and come back and talk with Aaron Williams when we return. Now, if you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to your phone calls because I know a lot of folks have something to say about the Toronto series and the one-year suspension of the Toronto series. And we'll get back to some more phone calls in a moment. But safety Aaron Williams, defensive back Aaron Williams, is coming up next on the show. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We are live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on a big day, big Wednesday at One Bills Drive, with the news coming out today that defensive back Aaron Williams has agreed to terms on a contract extension. Congratulations to you, Aaron. That's great news for you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I was thinking of where you were a year ago today in your career. You know, you had the rookie contract with the Bills. You had some success, some struggles in the first couple of years. Have you given yourself a chance to think about how far you've come in the last year?
Not yet. It still hasn't hit me yet so far. But I'm really blessed that I have the opportunity to finally, you know, complete my dream of getting that second contract and still being with a great franchise like the Bills.
When did the discussion start with you and the Bills, your agent and the Bills, more accurately?
Oh, man, I wish I knew that answer. Yeah. It's been on and off since after the season's ended. I would hear from my agent 1 week, and then 3 weeks later, and then 4 weeks, and then 2 days.
Okay.
It's a lot of inconsistent stuff.
So. Yeah. But the team let you know, what, in your exit interview in late December?
Yeah, after my exit interview, they said they wanted to extend me, and my heart kind of jumped, and I was like, really? but it was great news afterwards, and I said, hey, you know, you can talk to my agent, and y'all can work it out, and contact me when things are done.
Which is probably the best way to do it, right?
Absolutely.
That's why you pay an agent.
Absolutely.
Were you surprised when you said your heart jumped and you thought, really, were you surprised that they were ready to talk about an extension?
I really was. You know, moving from being cornerback for 2 years and then having a successful season my third year at safety, I figured, you know, they need another year for me to prove myself. But I feel like they're confident in me to finally pull the trigger and say, hey, you know what, we like your game and we want to extend you.
You know, I asked you a minute ago about thinking back a year ago. How about thinking back 9 or 10 months ago when you got here for OTAs? And I've asked you this question before. I know you know it's coming. And they told you about moving to safety.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. At the time, you got to be thinking this. You had to be thinking this is not good at the time, back in last April.
Yeah. I mean, you know, back then I was like, man, I think, you know, it's coming to an end.
Yeah.
You know, when people move positions, it's sometimes not the best thing, but I felt like they saw something in me that, you know, would help the team out. And, you know, I'm really grateful that they did move me, because I do feel a lot comfortable back there and with Jarius and Denoris. I'm glad they did it, and I'm not mad at all anymore. So just got to keep progressing on my game and put this team back in the playoffs.
Was there a point in OTAs or mini camp or training camp or even later when it kind of clicked in and you said, okay, I like this safety thing?
After, I think, the first day of, I think it was OTAs, I got my first pick. I think the first play.
Remember that?
When I was back there, and I said, oh, okay. Yeah, that was quick.
Yeah.
I might like this a lot. So ever since then, I got with Coach Henderson, and he's helped me out tremendously to get me where I'm at.
That was the next question I had. How much of a role does Coach Donnie Henderson have in your success last year and maybe even this extension?
Oh, huge. It's unbelievable what he's done to get me back to the old Aaron Williams, the guy who likes to have fun and is really intense out there in the field and doesn't worry about, you know, making plays to make the crowd happy, to make the fans happy. You do it to help your teammates, and knowing that those guys are busting their butt every play, and knowing that, you know, having it there and having fun is just the key of not, you know, stressing to make plays.
There was a time, though, Aaron, and again, this is from my perspective, outside looking in mini camps, when it seemed like Coach Henderson was he was riding you almost a little bit. You had his constant attention. He would correct you almost after every play.
And it's funny that you said that, because after my exit meeting, I always asked him, say, how come you're pretty harsh? I mean, you got to remember, it was a new position for me. He said, you know, I saw something in you that, you know, I've seen with my former players. You know, he's coached great guys.
Yeah.
You know, Ed Reed is one of the recent ones. He said, I saw something in you that I saw in Ed Reed, and I wanted you to perfect it. I didn't want you to be a slacker and think just because you switch positions and you think you're okay at it that you could be okay. I want you to be great. And I said, you know, I really appreciate it. And, you know, he has the same attitude as my dad, and they actually know each other. So You know, it's like seeing my dad in Buffalo again. So yeah. It's been great.
And you know, Aaron, it seemed like as the season went along and you settled into the position, he sort of backed off on you. He found other targets back there to pay attention to, it seemed like. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's some other guys who bore the brunt of his, I guess I call it tough love. I mean, he's paying attention to what you're doing, and he lets you know instantly you get that feedback.
Absolutely. And it is tough. It's just tough. It's not just tough love with me. It's tough love with everybody.
Yeah.
You can bring any of our DB guys in here, from Gilmore to Leo to Roby to any of the rookie guys. You know, if he feels, you know, confident enough to trust you to go out there and do your job without him riding on you every play, and he's going to let you play. But then again, if you're not doing your job, you know, it's going to be a long day for you. But, you know, this is kind of the great coaching tendencies he has of making great players.
Yeah. Aaron Williams, our guest, Bills defensive back, who signed a contract extension today. Aaron, you mentioned at your news conference earlier today that during that exit interview, they talked to you about becoming a leader. What do they have in mind, do you think?
Just, you know, letting guys know that, you know, put them in the right position to work hard and knowing that we're progressing as a team. We're progressing as a franchise to get back to where the great days where it used to be. They just want me to control the secondary and make sure guys are doing the right things and on and off the field. You know, just the role that Fred Jackson has, you know, he's really has a much respect for every player in this squad and even outside our team. Everybody knows Fred is a great leader, and I'm learning from him. You know, I've learned the last year what he's done, and, you know, it's not always about hoorah and being loud. You know, it's just about showing action.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you view that as a vocal thing, or is that more of just keep an eye on what I do and how I approach it and how I study maybe during the week?
Well, everybody is different in their leadership. I'm more of the hoorah guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm very vocal about what I say, and I'm very passionate and very intense about everything. You can see on the field that, you know, I like to celebrate and yell and let the other team know that we could come here to play. And that's the kind of attitude that I want my defense. I want my defense to have a nasty attitude, you know, not to where we get penalties left and right, 15-yard penalties, but let the offense know that, you know, we're not the same old Bills.
There is uncertainty in the backfield right now with nobody quite sure where Jarris Byrd is going to wind up. How are you handling that? What are you thinking about that these days?
I'm with Byrd 110%. You know, whatever happens to him, you know, I'm always backing him up. And, I mean, we've had this discussion even during the season of, you know, what's going to happen. And he said, hey, don't worry about me. You know, handle your business as much as you can. You know, this business doesn't last long at all. And you'll understand when you get in my position to where you have to contract negotiations and everything. And I was like, man, but I really want you back. And he's like, yeah, and I would love to be back. And if it doesn't happen, I need you to keep doing what you're doing and be successful. And I said, you know, you ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can do anything we can to have him back because, you know, our chemistry is just, unbearable. You know, we have great chemistry back there. And, you know, if we don't have him back, you know, we still have great players like DeNorris and Duke Williams and other guys that have come through us and worked their butts off. So I'm actually really excited to be back and get this thing rolling.
Yeah. You know, it's a strange thing, and I don't know the fans fully comprehend what it's like for players who, you know, you're professionals, and this is your livelihood. This is your profession. You also are part of a team where you're supposed to, you know, keep the individual goals underneath the surface a little bit. But guys realize that. You realize you're doing what you have to do for your contract and getting this extension, and Jarris is going to do what he feels like he has to do. And when it's all said and done, you line up and play, right? Is that an accurate description?
Absolutely. And it's funny they say that because I've been getting harassed the last week about convince Jarris to stay, convince, and I've also seen, you know, fans say, you know, Jarris doesn't want to be here, let him leave, we don't want him. It's nothing that matter of fact, I can honestly tell you right now that Jarris would love to be back with us. It's the business side, and people need to understand that, you know, this business is not going to last us forever. You know, it's not like a career where you can guarantee yourself 20 years and then retire. You know, this average career here is 3 years. And when you have opportunity to make as much as you can, you know, you got to go for it. You know, you can't be worrying about pay cuts. And, I mean, people will just look at the stuff, you know, outside in. You need to look at it inside out.
Yeah.
So,
Aaron Williams, our guest, as he gets a contract extension. We can't let you go without having a question or two about your off-field passion, rodeo and horses. What have you been doing since the season ended?
I just got back from the American Rodeo in Dallas. I was in the PBR 3 days ago. Yeah, Saturday.
Okay.
Whenever that was. I've been moving around. I've been hanging out with my buddies, Tuff Cooper and Shin Hanchi, and, you know, enjoying that. You know, really learning and seeing what it feels like to be in rodeo life and rodeo circuit, hanging out with them. And it's not easy at all.
No.
They travel nonstop.
They're professional athletes as well, rodeo Absolutely. Cowboys.
And it's funny because I went down there actually behind the chutes watching Tuff warm up. And I was like, dude, why are you warming up? He's like, man, I got to warm up just like y'all do.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? You just get off a horse and you go? I was like, no. You got to, you know, what if it happens you pull a muscle? You're screwed. There goes your, you know, 2 months' pay of rent and stuff. I was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. So, you know, they have to warm up just like we do, and they warm their horses up, and their horses are sweating before they even, you know, go out there and perform.
You still have it in the back of your mind that someday you might be at that level, be a rodeo cowboy? You could do that?
Without a doubt. You know, that's a few years.
Yeah. Cleared that with anybody before you signed the extension? you may want to run that by a few people.
Yeah, they know. But, you know, when football ends, that's what my career is going to be. And it's something I'm really passionate about. It's just not a hobby for me.
Right.
I really love, you know, dealing with horses and the rodeo circuit. And Tuff and Shane know that. Actually, I'm going to hang out with them when I get back to Austin. They're coming to the Austin rodeo, so I get to show them around my side of town.
Sure.
And hang out, so it's gonna be fun.
How old can guys ride in rodeos? How old do those careers last?
Oh, those careers last for a while. There's a guy right there. There's a few guys out there right now. One of them is Fred Whitfield, probably one of the most accomplished African American cowboys out there in the rodeo circuit right now. I think he's above 40.
Okay.
Yeah, so you could ride a long time as long as you keep your body right, just like NFL.
Yeah.
Keep your body right. You know, you don't know the longevity you have. But there's guys out there at 40-plus still doing it.
Hey, Aaron, last question. Back to football for a second. Shake up at the top of the Bills coaching staff with Jim Schwartz coming in, some new coaches on the defensive side of the ball. I know you haven't had a chance to talk football with the coaching staff yet, but what do you expect? And what can you guys do to follow up last year defensively?
Man, I expect the same thing we did last year. Hopefully break the sack record again. Being number one in interceptions, being at least – no lower than top 10 defense. We want to pursue the top five. You know, being aggressive, you know, putting pressure on the quarterback. I mean, our D line is, you know, I think most of our D line was Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah, three
so,
of them. Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of expectations this year, and we put a lot of a big standard for us last year, and we have to follow up against this year, or else it's going to be a failure.
Thank you very much for this. I'm really happy for you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Aaron Williams, defensive back, gets a contract extension for the Buffalo Bills. We've got more to come. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks to Aaron Williams, Bills safety, for joining us. In studio, he has signed a contract extension. The phone line's open for a few minutes here. Fred Jackson's going to join us after the top of the hour to talk about the news today from One Bills Drive. But if you have a comment for Fred or a comment for us, 803-0550, the number to call, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to Rob in Maryland. Hi, Rob. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I just had a quick question for you about the contract that Aaron Williams signed today. Well, in relation to Jerry's third, actually. Do you think that the signing of or the extension of Aaron Williams will decrease the percentage the chance that Jarius Byrd will re-sign with Buffalo?
I don't, and I thought about that, and it's a fair question. I don't think that. I mean, I think last night on the show that, you know, obviously Jarius is likely to hit the open market. He'll be able to start looking at offers on Saturday and be able to sign next Tuesday with somebody if he wants to sign. And I guess last night I put the probability of him re-signing with the Buffalo Bills at somewhere around 20%. And I'm going to stick with that. But you can't ignore, I mean, Aaron Williams. And the Bills made it clear when they were asked that question that the two are unrelated. And obviously, this is as Aaron told us, this has been in the works since the end of last season. But it certainly is, I guess, a little bit of a shot across the bow to Jarris Bird and his agent, like, you know, yeah, we're going to still line up and play even if you don't re-sign with us, number one. I mean, it certainly doesn't impact it financially, I wouldn't think, although based on the numbers that were put out there, you know, on Aaron Williams' contract and what we believe would be the amount appropriate to sign Jarris Bird, that's, you're talking a lot of money tied up in safeties. So I don't think it precludes it. I think if Jarris Bird wants to take the offer the Bills have put out there, as Doug Whaley told us yesterday, or was it early this week, Monday, I'm sure the Bills would do it. I don't think it precludes that happening, and I just think it's unlikely that once he gets out on the open market that Jarris Bird will come back here. As I said, I would put me handicapping it. I'd put the chances at 20%. Dave in Pendleton. Hello, Dave. Welcome. You're on the air.
John, it's a pleasure and an honor to speak with you, sir.
Thank you.
I just want to throw kudos out to Doug Whaley there. I think, you know, I see something in him that I like. It's the fact that he goes and he pulls the trigger. He's not afraid to, you know, shy away from, you know, instances with Jarris Bird. You know, he's waiting it out, seeing what's going on there. But Aaron Williams, you know, he seen talent there. And I think it's important for GM to analyze that and, you know, go ahead and drop it on him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I had a good conversation with Doug Whaley at the Combine a couple weeks ago, and we got talking about different plans in free agency. And it struck me then, and I guess I knew this all along, these guys, Doug Whaley and the whole organization, but they've got to be thinking like two and three moves ahead. They've got to have a plan B and a plan C and maybe even a plan D if they don't get the player they want or the player they want to draft isn't there. It's you know, it's kind of, when Doug Whaley and I talked about it at the Combine, kind of like playing one of those three-dimensional chess games where you've got all kinds of moving parts going on at once. It's difficult. And certainly, you know, you've got to you know that, you know, the Aaron Williams signing, although it will not financially, I don't think, impact Jarris Bird's chances of re-signing, it certainly means something. It does mean something as far as the depth and the players you have at safety. And there's one more thing about Aaron Williams I want to say before we move on to the top of the hour. And I guess it's not about Aaron Williams. It's about his position coach. Aaron Williams took gigantic steps forward last year and had to switch positions. And we talked about it with Aaron, but Donnie Henderson was such a positive impact on Aaron Williams last year and the entire defensive backfield. McKelvin had his best year. Bird, once he got going, had a really solid year. Donnie Henderson did such a good job with that group. And I think, I'm sure he thinks like this too. Aaron Williams, I'm sure, paid a phone call or stopped by Donnie Henderson's office here at One Bills Drive today to thank him because he meant a lot to essentially the resurrection of Aaron Williams' career. Who would have said a year ago on the show, Aaron Williams is going to start the entire season, going to play very good at safety, going to come up with four interceptions, and the Bills are going to extend him at the end of the year. Nobody would have said that. You'd be laughed off the air if you said that a year ago. All right, we are over time. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get Fred Jackson's take live with us on Aaron Williams' extended contract on the Toronto series, and we'll also hear more from you. The phone line's going to be open all night long. So dial up and get a spot online. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like this kind of party, baby.
Time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
Hey, yeah. Hold hands. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live tonight. And last night live this week from One Bills Drive with a couple of hockey games coming up. And your last chance to phone in comments and questions on anything at all. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number, or toll free 1-888-550-2550. We are here for one more hour. You can phone in any comments or questions for our next guest. He is the Buffalo Bills running back, Fred Jackson, who is live on the line with us right now. Fred, good evening. How are you tonight?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. You celebrated your 33rd birthday a couple of weeks ago. Happy birthday.
I did. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun just out hanging out with the family and just celebrating seeing another year.
Yeah, you've beaten the odds, Fred, when it comes to, well, just about everything, you know, when you look at the longevity of your career. And I remember having the conversation with you actually 3 years ago about running backs over the age of 30. You have defied what normally happens to running backs over the age of 30. You must feel pretty good about that.
I do. You know, it was one of the goals that I had, you know, being able to play, you know, past 30 would show that, you know, we still have some ability left in us once we hit 30. And I'm trying to do that, you know, trying to show that, you know, a guy can determine how long he feels like he can play if he just puts, you know, enough work into it. He can continue to hang out there with the young bucks.
Yeah. I'm wondering, does that work go on in the off season? And in other words, do you credit your longevity to maybe the work that goes on this time of year?
It definitely has a lot to do with it. You know, you see guys like Mario walking around with, you know, T-shirts that say "What off season?" Because, you know, we have to continue to mold our bodies into the machines that we need them to be, you know, during the season. So that doesn't stop. Once you stop playing during the season, you have to continue to, you know, work on that and make sure you're staying in shape and, you know, maintaining the same eating habits and the same work that you put in the season. You have to continue doing that if you want to be able to have a long, lustrous career.
So, Fred, for you, and there's a lot of other things to talk to you about, but one more question on this. What's a typical off-season workout day or week for you? Like, what kind of work do you do and where do you do it?
You know, it's a combination of a lot of different things. You know, some guys, you know, you got to know what, you know, works for your body. You know, I try not to do too much this time of year just because we will be going, you know, in the next couple of months, start hitting the ground running and doing some things with, you know, as a team. But you want to get in 3 or 4 times a week, you know, doing some weightlifting, and you want to do some cardio at least 3 times a week this time of year. Just to keep your body ready for that, so you're not coming in flat when you do come in and do some things with the team. If you do that, if you sit around on the couch and don't do much at all, that's a great way to get injured, and that's one of the things you want to try and prevent when you get back, you know, getting in the full things.
I just have one more question on this particular topic. Last off season, it was pretty evident that you made a concerted effort to bulk up, to be bigger, especially upper body. You don't probably have that sort of off season agenda when it comes to your workout regimen this year, do you?
Not this year. You know, I think I was fine with the weight that I played at last year. I was able to get through the season healthy. You know, banged up a little bit, but that goes with it. But it's one of those things I felt like I had to do last year, and I don't really feel like I need to do that this year. More is just kind of maintaining and keeping that weight on.
Fred Jackson, our guest, Bills running back. If you have a comment or a question, the phone lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Well, Fred, it was a kind of a newsy day out here today. I'm sure you heard about it, including the contract extension for safety Aaron Williams. And we had a conversation with him, and your name came up quite often talking to Aaron Williams, and it surprised me a little bit. You play on opposite sides of the ball. He's 10 years younger than you, essentially, and yet it's pretty clear that Aaron Williams looks to you for leadership and almost inspiration, it seems sometimes.
Yeah, and he's just the type of guy that, you know, he came in and being from, you know, both from Texas, and I got a chance to meet his parents. He's met my parents. It was just something we kind of clicked right away. You know, B. Scott, you know, Brian Scott's the reason that, you know, I've gotten to know Aaron as well as I have. You know, they were in the same room for a while. And, he brought Aaron over, and, you know, we kind of clicked when he came over, and he was a guy that I wanted to look out for, you know, kind of show the rope, so to speak. And, you know, he's here all the time. You know, you see stuff on Instagram and Twitter about, you know, him hanging out with my family. And anytime you meet a guy like that, you know, you want to do whatever you can as a leader on a team to make sure that they achieve their full potential, you know, on and off the field. So he's one of the guys that, you know, I've really taken a liking to and want to, you know, kind of show him the ropes and how I've become, you know, known in the community. He's one of those guys I think could definitely fit that mold.
You know, he mentioned today how when he left, you know, like the exit interview when the season ended, how the coaching staff and, you know, the football department told him they want him to assume a leadership role, which is pretty amazing for a guy who's just 23 years old. But he probably has the right stuff for that, I would think, huh?
He does, you know, and they see the same things I do, the same qualities that I see in him. There's a guy that can, you know, assume that leadership role on that defense, you know, a guy that can be vocal. He, he's going to have a lot to say in things that go on that offense, in the communication parts of it. So you want a guy out there that is vocal and that, you know, knows what he's doing, and he's one of those guys that can pick up a defense well, you know, relay messages through everybody, especially at safety. He's seeing the whole field. So, you know, he's one of the best people that they can have do that. And we like the things he brings to the table. So as long as, you know, he's willing to step in and take that role, which he is, you know, it's just going to be the sky's just going to be the limit for him.
Running back Fred Jackson on the line with us live. If you have comments or questions, the lines are open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We have a call here from Alfredo in Burbank, California. Hello, Alfredo. You're on the air with Fred Jackson.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think, Fred, it's good to talk to you, too. I think it's a great day for the Buffalo Bills today as an organization, you know, to hear that extra game is being added on, you know, at the Ralph this year. You know, just, you know, from watching the games on TV, you know, from the Toronto series, it just didn't seem right. You know what I mean? The atmosphere of the game, just the whole scenario of it just didn't feel right. And I do understand the whole business, you know, portion of it, you know, Buffalo trying to seek out more of the Canadian fan base and whatnot, and I totally get that, and it totally makes sense. But it's a great day for the organization that, you know, they're postponing it, and they're going to reevaluate that whole process. And I'm just ecstatic, again, to hear about the extension on Aaron Williams. It definitely solidifies, you know, the defensive backfield. And just want to hear what your take is. And, Fred, you're the best running back in the league, baby.
Thanks for calling, Alfredo. Fred, what do you think about the Toronto news today?
You know, well, first, thanks. I appreciate that, Alfredo. You know, I try to be one of the best backs in the league. But, you know, it's like everybody else. You know, we love trying to expand this team, you know, going to Toronto, trying to expand the fan base and doing whatever we can for this organization. But at the same time, we love playing at the Ralph, you know, and to be able to say that, you know, we got a home game back at the Ralph next year, you know, it's something that we're all ecstatic about. You know, there's nothing like being able to put on that uniform and come out the tunnel and play at home. And to be able to get that game back at the Ralph for us is something that we're definitely excited about.
Fred, it's, you know, a one-year suspension anyway, and who knows what the future holds. But if you were to, you know, let's assume you're sticking around and playing for a little while longer, and if you had to play in Toronto in that Rogers Center, what would make it a better atmosphere? I mean, we've heard people talk about there should be a grass field. I wonder if maybe opening the dome might make it a better atmosphere in there. What do you think could be done to make that a better atmosphere for Buffalo Bills football?
You know, I think you kind of hit on two things that would be well. That field, you know, isn't the greatest field. You know, it's not built for a football game. And they've gotten better over the years. You know, they've done a tremendous job trying to, you know, accommodate us and make it as close to, you know, football field atmosphere as they can. And opening a dome would definitely be something that we can do, you know, and change the atmosphere. But, I mean, there's only one thing that you can do to make that, you know, a home game for us, and that's to relocate, you know, 70,000 Buffalonians up to Toronto and, you know, have them screaming and cheering us on. That's the closest thing that is going to come down to being a home game for us.
You've played well there, Fred. You had two touchdowns against the Falcons last year, and I looked it up. I think you have three touchdowns in three of the six games played up in Toronto. So, obviously, you've managed to get through it and play pretty well in the games you've had up there.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. We don't have a tremendous large fan base up there, but, you know, you do try and feed off the fans that are there and that are supporting us. And, you know, it is more of a neutral game, you know, especially last year. But, you know, still, when you get fans cheering for you, you want to go out there and make them proud and do the things that you can to get them into the game, so to speak.
On the line with Fred Jackson, just a minute or two left. If you have a comment or a question, line's open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Earlier in the week, Fred, the news that the Bills would not apply the franchise tag on veteran safety Jarris Byrd. How do you and guys in the locker room, what do you think of that? How do you deal with that when you hear that news? And, of course, Jarris isn't gone yet. He may, you know, he's probably going to have an opportunity later this week, early next week, to take a look around the league. But what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, number one thing, you know, we have to realize is, you know, we all say it and it's all cliche, you know, it's a business, you know, and we know he has to do what's best for him. And, you know, at the same time, the team is going to do what's best for them, you know. So you kind of have to look out for yourself, so to speak, in that sense. And we respect everything that Jarius is doing right now. There's nobody in that locker room that has any grudge or think any less of Bird for, you know, trying to seek out the best deal for him, you know. And, you know, I've been in contact with Bird. You know, he's still hopeful that he can come back here. I can say that, you know, everybody in that locker room would like to have him back, you know. He's a tremendous playmaker for us, you know, 3-time Pro Bowler. Anytime you get a guy like that, you want him to play on your team. You know, and we'll just, you know, let the process play itself out, you know, and hopefully if things work out and we can get him back in Buffalo, we will be happy for that. You know, we would love that, you know, and if not, we'll wish him well. And, you know, when we see where he ends up and if we play against him, we'll do everything we can to beat him up when we see him.
Fred, I'm old enough to, I remember, you know, 20, 22 years ago when the right for free agency was collectively bargained for by NFL players. And even though you've played your entire career here, it is important for players to know that if they go through the process and if they, you know, if they're successful enough to get 4 or 5 years in the league, that they have the right to look around, right? I mean, you guys have fought for that. Guys have struck for that over the years in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a long lifespan for us in this league, so you know, to be able to try and take advantage of something like that is something that every player in this league will respect. You know, it's something that, you know, not a lot of people get the experience of doing, you know. And if you get that experience, it's something that, you know, guys relish and want to take advantage of. And that's why, you know, every person in this locker room and in every other locker room in the league, you know, respects what's going on. And, you know, it's a process, and, you know, we just got to let it play out and see if you know, something can happen where it shakes out that, you know, he's back with us. And if not, you know, we wish him well.
Fred, there's a perception among some fans, and we hear it sometimes on this show, that the Buffalo Bills don't take care of their own players. They don't keep their good players. But you today, Aaron Williams, Kyle Williams, Eric Wood, Stevie Johnson, well, you guys are examples of guys who've been taken care of and given extension so that you stay here. That means something too, doesn't it?
It does, you know, and, you know, everybody's not going to see things the same way, and people are going to disagree with, you know, the process. You know, you see kind of, you know, mean things said about both the organization and Bird for what's going on. But, you know, if you're not in the situation, it's kind of hard to speak on it. So you just got to let it be and, you know, let the process work itself out. And, you know, both sides are going to do whatever they can to keep both, you know, both parties happy. And that doesn't always work out, you know, and you see guys that mean a lot to a team go other places.
Last thing, Fred, I know, you know, we talked about it. You're 33 years old. You enjoy the off season, a chance to recover, a chance to stay in shape. But in your experience, does there come a time during the off season when you start to think, I really want to get back to work? I want to be around the guys. I want to do a little football work. Or do you just kind of wait until it comes in April that you'll be knowing that you'll be in OTAs?
Oh, man, you get the itch early. You know, you love it. I was just actually on a message thread with, you know, my running backs, you know, my running mates and, you know, Coach Wheatley. We were just talking about how we miss being in the classroom, you know, telling jokes and studying and, being on the field working with each other. And we're looking forward to getting back out there. So, you know, you definitely start to miss it. You know, it's our livelihood. It's something that, you know, we love being a part of. And, if you don't get to do it every day, you know, you start to miss it just like anything else. And, you know, it's why we've had so many guys come back in when stuff wasn't mandatory. It's just because you miss being around each other and the camaraderie of, you know, going to work together.
Well, Fred, we look forward to having you back here. Thank you very much for carving out a little time to be with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. I appreciate you having me on.
Fred Jackson, Bills running back, another outstanding year for him. 1,277 yards for scrimmage last year, 890 on the ground, 9 rushing touchdowns, 3rd in the AFC. Just incredible production for Fred Jackson again last year. I think he's a marvel. I really do think he is a marvel, and he and CJ make a great 1-2 punch. Fred Jackson now 5th all-time in most scrimmage yards in Buffalo Bills history. He's got 1,500-yard rushing games in his career, 3rd on the Bills all-time list, 3rd in rushing yards behind Thurman Thomas and O.J. Simpson. one of the all-timers, folks, Fred Jackson. We appreciate him coming on with us tonight to talk about Aaron Williams, to talk about Jairus Byrd, to talk about the Toronto series. And now the phone lines are open for your thoughts on any or all of the above. The number to call, 803-0550 or toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We mentioned originally we had hoped to have Matt Miller with us from Bleacher Report, NFL draft analyst. He had a late cancellation, and we'll try to reschedule him. So now's your time to talk about what you think about today's news, the suspension of the Toronto series, to talk about the extension of Aaron Williams' contract, or anything else in the world of the NFL or the Buffalo Bills. Again, lines open, 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We haven't even got to the other news from the Bills today, and that dealt with a free agent visit, a veteran free agent visit. The question came up last night about, you know, what are they going to do in free agency? They're already at work on it, even though unrestricted free agents don't hit the market. You can't even talk to them until Saturday. But there are players right now, street free agents, who are out there, people who have been recently released, including inside linebacker Jameel McClain. And he made a free agent visit here to Orchard Park to check out the Buffalo Bills today. Jameel McClain, 6'1", 245-pound inside linebacker, just released by the Baltimore Ravens last week. He's 28 years old. He was going into the final year of a contract. He was an undrafted free agent out of Syracuse for the Baltimore Ravens and wound up as a starter for 3 years for Baltimore, including their Super Bowl year. Jameel McClain was here checking out the Buffalo Bills complex, meeting with the Bills today. He's got other stops to make, but he answered a couple of questions from reporters, including our own Chris Brown. And Jameel McClain was asked if he prefers to play inside at the Mike linebacker spot or outside at the Will.
I always look at myself as being able to play either or the position, you know, so that's first, and that's what I believe that people know about me, you know, but initially I guess the idea was to play some of the Mike linebacker or some of the Will or however it transitions, you know. Obviously it's a new coaching staff, you know, so they have to fill out the players that they have, so.
You've had a chance to start a lot of games over the last 3 years, even though, you know, you had the neck injury that you came back from. Where do you feel you're at this point in your career? It's a much different point than when you were a college free agent looking for a job.
Definitely, man. I mean, health-wise, I'm 100%. That's first, you know. And now, within time, I'm a veteran in this league. I understand what it takes to win games. Mm-hmm. I understand how you lose games. I understand what it is to prepare, you know, to go for a long haul of a season. You know, that's different than when I was a kid coming in. I didn't know any of those things, you know. So where am I at in this game? You know, I'm a professional. I'm a professional within it, and I'm going to treat the game just like that.
Jameel McClain, linebacker, who was in for a free agent visit playing with the Baltimore Ravens, he had a bruise, a contusion on his spinal cord, and that held him out of some games. 10 starts for the Ravens this past year, 52 tackles, but he was a 3-year starter. He made the trip to Buffalo today. He's able to do that before really free agency kicks in next week because he's on the street. He is a street free agent. But he did tell Chris Brown and others today that he's got some other visits planned around the NFL.
I think we got more scheduled, but I tell my agent to tell me the day before. You know, I don't want to be wrapping my mind around too many ideas. I'm more like a just get the information and go guy.
Have you given any thought to what kind of timetable you and your agent want to work with before you reach a decision? Obviously, you want to check all your options first, but you know, come next Monday, the pool of talent gets a lot bigger for teams to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's on my agent, you know, to be honest. I put my full trust in him. You know, he's someone that stood by me. And, you know, we hire people to put people in a position to make the right decisions for you. And this is one of those guys that's going to make the right decisions. So when he finds the right time, that'll be the right time. And I won't pressure him into anything. I'm just going to trust on his opinion.
That's Jameel McClain, the inside linebacker, former Baltimore Raven, who was in for a visit with the Buffalo Bills today. Chris Brown asking the questions. He made a good point, Chris did, that the pool of linebacking talent will increase a lot by Monday when free agency opens up. So it probably behooves Jameel McClain to get settled on a place to play sooner rather than later. He did mention he has another free agent visit scheduled with the New York Giants. And just a visit today, no signing. And we don't know if any offer has been made. I anticipate the Bills will bring some other linebackers in too, maybe even before free agency opens next week. It appears they are very serious about finding a inside middle linebacker type so they can move Kiko Alonso to the outside, to the Will linebacker spot. We talked about that a lot over the last couple of weeks. Let's take a quick call. Andy in South Buffalo. Hi, Andy. You're on the air.
How you doing, Murph?
Good.
I'm I just got done listening to Fred Jackson, and I got to say, I love listening to that guy, and I think he's one of the best Bills ever. I've loved watching him. He's been so consistent over the years, and he's just one of those guys that you can always count on and just put his head down and just drive through the hole and just get, you know what I mean, get what you want out of him.
Yeah, he's reliable. There's no question about that. You know what else he is? He's smart. He's pretty smart. He knows the way the league works. I think he has a good understanding of the dynamics of the locker room. The poor guy's been on some pretty bad teams here throughout his career in Buffalo, and he never seems to get too down about it, never really shirks away from leadership when it comes to, pointing the way for the young guys. And when you put the two together, when you think about what Aaron Williams had to say about Fred Jackson today and what Fred Jackson had to say about Aaron Williams today, it's almost like you can envision the leadership torch being passed from Fred Jackson to Aaron Williams. Not now, not this year, for however much longer Fred wants to play. But it's clear that it's almost like Fred Jackson, you know, is looking around for his successor as a leader on this roster, and it sounds like Aaron Williams is ready to step up and do it this year as in his fourth year in the league. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back for more phone calls, and we welcome your participation as well. The phone lines are open for the rest of the hour, so give us a call. Anything you want to talk about, the Toronto series suspended for the year, we can talk about that. Aaron Williams extended for 4 years, we can talk about that. Anything else you want to talk about? We had Russ Brandon on saying some things during the 7 o'clock hour. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We are live tonight from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO live tonight, live for the next half hour, and the phone lines are open. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. 803-0550 is the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We can talk about a lot tonight because there was a lot of news coming out of here tonight. We just mentioned Jameel McClain, a free agent linebacker in town for a free agent visit today. But, of course, the big news, the suspension of the Toronto series for 1 year. The Bills, as you just heard on the update, have suspended it for 1 year. Conflicting, I don't know if it's conflicting reports. Russ Brandon would not address the future of the series other than to say that it's all under review. And it's going to be a pretty thorough review from top to bottom about the Toronto series. There is a report from the Toronto Sun saying that our friend John Crick was told by someone in the know in Toronto that the series will resume in 2015 and they'll play four more games. But the Bills have not said that and weren't ready to address the future after this year. So we can talk about that. There's one aspect of this, too, and I was looking, somebody tweeted in this, and this came up during the Russ Brandon news conference earlier today. So you have the extra day or the extra game now here in Buffalo, with the game being moved from Toronto to Buffalo. For season ticket holders, you know what that means? That means another game to buy. We're all okay with that, I hope, right? After all the people who didn't like the Toronto series. One tweet from Joseph Zamban who said, "I hope everyone is happy the game is out of Toronto and they're planning on buying tickets. December blackouts equals return to Toronto." I don't know about that, but, the one thing about the Toronto game, it was blacked out automatically, the blackout was lifted automatically each of the first 6 years of the series. And, December games are tough sometimes here, depending on how the team's going. Clayton Walker tweets in, "As Mr. Brandon thought about having a home game in Rochester or Syracuse to go after more of the base east of Buffalo," he means. I don't know about that. I don't know that the facilities are in place in either place, Syracuse, especially not Rochester. But, I mean, you think, obviously, the Carrier Dome. I don't know if that is NFL ready. So I don't know. If you have thoughts on the Toronto series, where it's going, where it's been, are you happy about the suspension of the Toronto series? Now's the time to phone in your thoughts with the phone lines open at 803-0550, or you can reach us toll-free at 1-888-552-550. Before we get back to more calls, I want to remind you about the Bills and M&T Bank. Ready to honor outstanding educators again this year. It is the 6th annual Touchdown for Teachers contest, and it is going to be underway this spring. It's usually in the fall. But the nominations will be open on Monday, April 7th, which is not that far away. And you can get the application form at buffalobills.com/teachers. So the nominations are open Monday, April 7th. The finalists will be notified just a couple of weeks after that, Friday, April 18th. The Touchdown for Teachers program in its sixth year, a program to honor local teachers for their outstanding service to their schools and communities. It's going to be in the springtime now. Each of the five teachers selected and a guest will come to a private draft day party for the Bills. And the grand prize winner gets a $2,000 grant payable to their school or district, VIP behind-the-scenes experience here at One Bills Drive, and an in-class visit from a Bills player or alumni. So the information and nomination forms available online, buffalobills.com/teacher, but you got to get moving on it because the application forms must be submitted no later than Monday, April 7th. All right, so look for that. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO here live until 9 o'clock tonight. Let's go to Mark in Buffalo. Hi, Mark, you're on the air.
Good evening, Merck. How are you?
I'm okay.
As for the Toronto series, I really don't care. It should be here. It's not a home field advantage up there when you're up there, and it should be. I mean, the Toronto people are great coming down here. People from Canada, we love them. They help fill our stadium, get players here. So I'm glad it's here, but it doesn't really help us to be up there. But I'd rather comment on Jerry's bird. We shouldn't have got to this point again, Murph. And maybe they finally learned the way they signed Williams today. But the bottom line is, I know they've done everything they can now to this point to get him. But this show, and I know Doug Whaley wasn't here up until a year ago as running the show. But see, now we're paying for past mistakes again. You're going to lose one of the best safeties in the game. We can't afford to lose the best safeties in the game. Whoever made that decision, again, I'm not picking on the TV guy. They gave him, what, $7 million a year? You couldn't give this kid $8 million a year 3 years ago, and he would have been happy, Murph.
Which decision are you talking about was the mistake?
The decision of not dealing with Jarius Bird when they wouldn't deal with him last year, when they wouldn't have given him what he wanted last year to be the highest-priced cornerback even last year. Maybe even 2 years ago this shouldn't have been. They shouldn't have come to this. They knew what his talent was.
Yeah, and you think he should be the highest-paid safety in the game, more than Troy Polamalu and
Murph?
What's that? I'm sorry, what did you say? Mark, gone? Yeah, well, hindsight is 20/20. Jarius Bird is a really good player. I don't know that he merits being the highest paid safety in the game. The Bills have made what they characterize as a significant offer this year. They exercised their right to use the franchise tag last year, as is their right, just as it is going to be Jarius Bird's right to start taking a look at other offers come Saturday of this week without the franchise tag. So, you know, you can second guess all you want. He's a very good player. I hope they get it done. It doesn't, like I said, I put the chances of him remaining here at less than 20%, mostly because he wants to look around. And it takes two to make a deal. It takes two to make a deal. You just roll over a year ago and say, Jarius, what do you want? We'll give you what you want. I mean, you said that a second ago, Mark. You said they should have given him what they want. Really? And should you give Marcel Darius what he wants when you look to re-sign him? Should they have given Aaron Williams what he wants? I mean, it's a deal. It's a two-sided thing. And you try to reach a compromise. And second-guess the Bills if you want about this. And you can. You can. It appears that they're going to lose a good player here. But the system is playing out, and the player has to want to stay, too. The player has to want to make a deal. And I think it's pretty evident that going back over a year now, Jarius Bird has wanted to take a look around to see what his value is. And it appears he's going to get that chance now. May come back. As I said, I put the odds of him coming back at 20% or less. He may come back, but I have a feeling, and this is the way it goes in the NFL, someone's going to want to make a splash, someone's going to identify a crying need at safety, and someone, I mean another NFL team, is going to give him an offer that he likes better than the one he got here. They have made him an offer. It's unfortunate. And you know, you hate to see good players get away. There's no question about that. Kevin in Cheektowaga. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hello, Murph. How you doing?
Great.
Yeah, I think it is good that we're back here in Buffalo instead of Toronto. I just think you do lose the home field advantage. And as far as your previous caller, you stole my thunder, Murph. A lot of the points you said I was going to say, too, about Jarius Bird, a great player, but how much can you pay him? I believe the reports I heard that we offered him, he was going to be the highest paid safety for 3 years.
Is that correct?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't know what the numbers are. And the way contracts are structured, there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. We're probably talking about the same number that we saw that said the Bills were prepared to pay him $30 million over the first 3 years of the deal. And that tells you one thing about the contract. Doesn't tell you how much of that money is guaranteed, which is always a big issue. Guaranteed money is almost, you know, the most important issue in most of these contracts, and it doesn't tell you the term of the contract beyond those first 3 years. All we know for sure, I believe, is that the Bills have said it is a significant offer. And I guess from a Bills perspective, from a Bills fan perspective, you'd want to hope that it's significant enough so that when Jarris Bird hits the market on Friday this week, he starts to look at it and say, huh, that's not a whole lot better, or not even as close as to what they're offering me in Buffalo. Did you catch Fred Jackson a few minutes ago on the show when he said he has been in contact with Jarris Bird? Did anybody hear what he said? He said, I talked to Jarris Bird. This is Fred Jackson talking. And he said, Jarris would like to stay here. That means something. I mean, I think it's about the money for Jarris. I think it's about getting the best possible deal he can. He has a right to do that. But I also think he knows that he's in a comfortable place on a team that he's comfortable with, that maybe on the verge of doing some big things here. And that's got to be worth something above and beyond the money. A call here from Joe in Springville. Hello, Joe. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Murph?
Okay.
I just wanted to talk and just restate what everybody else is saying about Freddie Jackson, how great of a just the inspiration he's been to Buffalo and whatnot, and, you know, just the words that he chooses, like how he's holds himself to the media and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to say, you said it before, all the teams, the great teams, he's in a third rushing yards for in Bills history, but the other two had great teams behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Freddie Jackson's doing this, like, he's been doing it for a while,
right,
on his own, and now we've got Spiller. I think EJ is going to come through this year, and they're going to be making some moves.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, Fred Jackson, you know, we talked about Fred being the third all-time rusher in franchise history. The first two, by the way, are Hall of Famers, OJ and Thurman Thomas. So not that Fred's a Hall of Famer, but certainly he can stand alongside those two in Buffalo Bills history when it comes to one of the great performers in any position, really. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more. We've got time for a few more phone calls if you choose. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, we're live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Couple of minutes left in the show up until 9 o'clock tonight. Podcast the next couple of nights because of hockey. The Rochester Americans, disguised as Sabres, have a couple of games to play in Florida on Thursday and Friday. We'll be back with live radio on Monday night, but the podcast the next couple of nights. And if you miss portions of our show, you can go to buffalobills.com/John Murphy Show. On the website today, one-on-one interviews Chris Brown did with Aaron Williams, and he also has the entire Russ Brandon news conference about Toronto today. A lot of content today because there was a lot of news today here at One Bills Drive. Let's squeeze in a phone call here. Let's go to Dennis in Amherst. Hello, Dennis. Welcome. You're on the air. Hi, Dennis. Are you there?
Thanks for taking my call, Murph. Love your show.
Thank you.
So, Murph, quick thing for you here. I don't understand how anybody in Buffalo can't be elated over not being able to sign Jarris Bird. In my opinion, you don't want someone like this in your football team. Last year, we all knew he was franchise tagged. We all knew he was upset. He proved that this year. He proved that he probably wasn't going to sign last year because he didn't sign this year again after getting a substantial offer. The fact that he sat out last year the first five games with one of those arch injuries that really can't be diagnosed speaks volumes to me about not only his personality, but his commitment to Buffalo, his commitment to the team, and most of all, his commitment to the fans. Last year, I think in those first five games that he missed, if he's in the lineup and he's playing like he should be to make his $8 million he made last year, by all means, he should be in that game. And I think we could have won two of those games we lost last year. The fact that he wasn't there and he didn't help his team win, not only let down the team, let down all the fans of Western New York. Personally, I don't want a guy like that on my team. If he's just in it for 100% the money, not for the game of football, not for the fans, nothing else, but just to make sure he proves his point and he pouts and he doesn't get hurt, I don't want a guy like that on my football team.
All right. Thanks, Dennis. I know some people feel that way. We'll see how it plays out. There's still a chance that Jarvis could be back here. Not a good chance, but a chance, I think. A lot of comments on Twitter tonight to our show about the Toronto. Ryan Patterson tweets in, never should go back to Toronto. I assume he means the Bills should never play there. Tyler Cooper tweets in, I'm from Toronto. I'm a Bills season ticket holder. I went to one game there. My dad and I left at halftime. No atmosphere. There's one other one. Ashley Petty tweets in, it's about time. All seemed to Toronto, she's talking about. All seemed about money. I've heard from many Canadians. Most said they'd rather be in Buffalo. That's the thing. I heard that too, and it wasn't just today. It wasn't just this past year. For several years now, the Canadian fans, Bills fans, NFL fans that say would tell you, we'd rather come to Orchard Park for the game than have the game in our own backyard in Toronto for a variety of reasons. I have yet to meet the Toronto NFL, and I don't even care if they're a Bills fan, but the Toronto NFL fan who said, love the fact that these games are right here in Toronto. We can go to the game at Rogers Centre rather than drive to Orchard Park. The drive doesn't seem to be an issue for Toronto fans. To me, it's all about winning. If the Bills can get consistently good, which I believe they're laying the foundation here to do that, the Toronto fans will flock here. Southern Ontario fans will flock here. That 16% that or 18% that Russ Brandon talked about today will probably grow to 20 or 25% if they can compete on a regular basis. And again, I go back to what Mr. Wilson said to me in a discussion on a beautiful summer afternoon at Fredonia training camp. He was sitting in a golf cart. We were just sort of chatting. We were talking about the effort to sell the suites, which were at that time were new here at Ralph Wilson Stadium. It was 1998, I believe. And he's, one of the great things about Ralph Wilson is that he kind of boils down the argument right to the kernel, right to the nub of the argument. And he said, the best way to market pro football is to win. He's right. The best way to make the Bills a success in Toronto is to win. Not necessarily win in Toronto, win here. Be competitive. Be consistently competitive. And if they can do that, they'll have no problem selling tickets in Toronto, in Buffalo, or anywhere else. I really believe that. But the winning comes first. So, the Toronto deal, suspended for 1 year. I'm sure we'll talk more about this on the podcast tomorrow. Planning on getting some reaction from Toronto for the podcast tomorrow night. We hope to have Matt Miller on the show tonight. As I said at the top, a late cancellation. We'll get him on next week. He is the fine NFL draft writer for BleacherReport.com. And, of course, a lot more shows coming up. The podcast tomorrow night, and you can access that at BuffaloBills.com. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer tonight, TJ Luckman, our producer, Jay Harris, with assistance from the Bills Director of Broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Podcast tomorrow should be up late in the afternoon. Hope you tune into that. And we'll see you then with the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.